Phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina. Ngiyinsizwa.
Shizulu and yellow. Grew up in the ghetto. If you're asking yourself why the hell I'm singing that, that is our lovely guest, but we'll get into that. What's going on? Another episode of the Shady Podcast. My name is PH, and that guy over there is one Gojiro. Shady Gojiro character. Gojiro. What's happening, sir?
Are you well, sir?
Lekker butit, spring!
Lekker mabut,
spring is
sprung, gashisa!
That's if you are in Cape Town, I don't think so, because it's fucking cold. That's
yeah, but Cape Town's another country. They operate on their own climate.
Yeah, maragashisa!
There's so many Europeans there, they decided to even...
They've imported the climate.
They're appropriating the weather.
Yeah, man, crazy weekend. How was your weekend?
What did I do, actually? I did something that I said I have to get to work and tell PH. Fuck.
What did you do?
Oh, yes. I went to, you know, these country clubs. I attended a nice function yesterday.
Oh, lekker.
And for me, it's
so
a lot.
So you had to code like, switch.
Yeah, you were. Right? They were like, yo, this thing is at Inanda Polo Club.
Inanda.
And good I was evening, like, Mr. Shady.
Right?
How Warwick, not even
the Warwick. Hi, Mr. Stock.
Ah, the white Stock, name, yes. Hectic.
You know what I mean? Came in there
are
with
okay?
my nappies
you
and
survived.
Stuff. I survived, but clearly
I didn't slip up.
I didn't match the
I
dress code.
Up.
Like, niggas were out here in their, like, polo fits, you know? And
really?
I was, like, here in, like, this. It's like, yo, what's happening? Where's the nappy party? Yeah. It was my friend's nappy party.
Oh, dope.
Shout out, Fish. Congratulations Away. To him and his lovely wife.
Away.
Baby's due anytime now. Nappies are fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Last time I bought nappies, they were, like, 120 a pack or something. Bro, this shit something is, like, now. 290 what?
That's crazy.
Yes, yeah. I only bought one pack.
I was.
Are they all still disposable? They haven't figured out a way.
No,
to,
friend, it's still the same. Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the towel gang. I grew up with. The towel thing was fine for us. Why
the kids? The toweling nappies.
Yes, when they spill, you shy spill it.
Yeah, I remember.
We all wore those sitting down here right now.
I've got a photo too with those
yeah,
ones on.
Shy spill it,
and our bums are fine.
Yeah,
our
like,
bums are fine.
When I had my own children and cleaned their bums and changed nappies, I can just imagine what that towel nappy used
oh my
to look
God.
Like. Because, you know, when you look at that thing...
No, but
like,
the food we ate was way better than what kids are consuming now.
My poloni and Vienna.
No, but I'm just saying, there was less...
going deep.
There was less... none of these things that they put in our
no, preservatives. No, but remember, they also used to test formulas on African kids. So we also don't... We don't really, like... You know
I'm
what I
saying,
mean?
The food back then was...
But that's when the food was getting really... When they were really now... Understanding how to process food was when... I also feel like maybe not so much because every generation... You see, like, periods are coming sooner, you know,
oh,
all those type of
yeah,
things.
True.
Like,
kids are
armpits
up
are
like...
smelling sooner.
Right?
Like, sooner.
Really?
Yeah, like, 7 years old, 8 years old.
Yes, because kids...
I only started, like, getting, like, armpit funk, like, maybe at, like, 11.
You're
you know
supposed
what I mean?
To start it somewhere closer to puberty.
Yeah.
But
and
now
then,
kids are, like, hitting puberty at, like, 9, which
my,
is unusual.
My period only bumped me... When did Bamba mean?
Oh, we're here now, periods.
15,
okay.
16. Mm. My first proper period, I was
really?
16. And then only at like 18 did I actually start becoming regular.
Mm.
I was asking you guys about the weekend, but we're speaking about periods.
No, okay. No, sorry, sorry.
Well, I had a great weekend.
We spoke about periods before we were rolling, so
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't make me expose you.
We spoke about a calendar. Don't let me expose you.
Have you ever had a woman's period calendar on
yeah.
your phone?
Yeah, I've dated people, so I must know that my girl
yeah, you
is
must
about
know.
To ovulate.
Did you ever keep an ex's calendar on your phone, even when you're in a new relationship?
An ex's?
Yeah, an ex. Or
wait,
ex
wait,
ex
why would you... Is it a shared calendar?
Well, they can you can mark
sync.
Their dates.
Mm. Okay.
You can sync or you can mark their dates or you can add more than one person in the
to
app.
Be like, no. This week, yeah, no, no. This
yeah,
week,
cool, for your roster.
This week.
You need to avoid this one, ovulation week.
Yeah.
I'm traveling.
You guys will find a way to bastardize everything as men. Like, you'll find a way to
oh,
ruin
friend, I mean,
everything for women. Like, what
else
is
that chart
that?
For? You've got to use...
Like, I'm here to balance the scales.
Oh, okay, PH.
No,
PH, your role is redundant.
Yeah, bye. No, I had a power weekend. Yo, fuck, I was traveling. I was in Swaziland, Botswana, Zimbabwe. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr. Sadek.
I was in those places. I was sad that I missed Scorpion Kings on Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my guys.
It looked like a bang.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everyone behind that the concert. It was crazy. I know there
shout
was a
lot.
Shout
out to Sony.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The labels too. The labels too. Shout out Malachi. In fact, everyone who was just involved in that project. Shout out to you guys, Thuli, Katlego. Lebu, hey, there's a lot of people.
Here yeah, we are
and now there's plug.
Except no, I'm just saying.
A shout out to all my friends. Don't fry
no,
us.
No, I'm plugging the people who don't get the love. No, there's a lot of people who don't get the love. Like, of course, Scorpion Kings, yes, but...
We don't know those people. Put them in the credits.
Shout out to everyone who's involved.
What's going on?
Put them in the credits.
What the fuck's wrong with you, Gaten McKenzie?
Who you're all excited about. What did Gaten McKenzie do?
Don't open that chat. Jesus.
He was, the people are frying him because he said, shout out to the sponsor of the what? People
what,
are like, yeah, baba.
NYDA.
Not NYTA, but I'll be saying you betting company.
Did he shout out to all?
He shouted them out, yeah, to say this wouldn't have been possible without you type
what?
Of thing.
What wouldn't have been possible?
The event.
Betting company.
He was like, yo, you know, this is such a phenomenal.
Is he not allowed to?
It's not that he's not allowed to. The intent with which he's doing it, he's saying a show like this is made possible by stakeholders and partners who understand the vision. The biggest Amapiano concert in the world. Shout out to the boys. Shout out to the sponsors. Mm. That's what he was saying in the context of his tweet. And then people were like, this is inappropriate for you to be shouting out betting companies.
As a minister, because also
there's a guy on Twitter that's like super anti-betting. Well, not anti, but he's
anti-gambling.
Anti-gambling, yeah.
Kushik,
yeah. And he like, I saw his tweet. He retweeted it. He was like, yo, what's this now? You're the Minister of Arts and Culture. Mm. What?
Fair.
To be fair, yes and no. You know, there's positives and negatives. I mean,
but
a show of that magnitude.
Like a private company, because then we can start questioning your involvement in, and especially in the arts, considering that they are... In so many things, they're in the leagues.
True, yeah. They're in sports. They're in things where betting is happening. But also, it's like you need private money to make shit happen. You know what I'm saying? Like that was an expensive show.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend.
No, it was a Sony project. It was a label project.
Mm. I know so much that I can't share.
Well, don't, because you didn't want us to give people debt.
Why can't you share?
I didn't say that. I just said make it quick.
What do you mean you know so much you can't share?
Oh, I just found out a bunch of stuff that is like really cool. Like really cool, but
really
it's not
dope.
Like, so I don't think it's like for public. Is my head straight? Like, what the hell's going on? It looks odd.
You know, I just realized we didn't even need to.
You know, I was trying to get
the character, pal.
Do you even need to introduce me?
But
like,
we have a structure
like
on the show.
Do I even need an introduction? Like,
no, but if someone's watching,
I'm not a rapper. You know who it is. No, you know who it is. Like, I don't have to ask you if you know who it is.
Okay.
You know who it is.
I get hello now.
Yeah, San Manani.
Okay, hello. Okay.
Hello, okay.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, Muzalimbuzo.
Jeez.
Do you remember, you know, Umkilija, God rest his soul, the Umtitieli wa Mabuto?
Hectic, yes.
So they were asking him questions.
That guy's my spirit.
Bro, I love that guy.
That guy. I always repost this thing. I actually posted this video once. I was like, how can people be shocked I'm the way I am if this is where I come from?
That guy is the gold standard.
Sure.
Right, of like a Zulu timer.
Like,
and they were asking him like during the time, during that period where, I think after like the death of the king or the queen regent rather, he was being questioned now to say.
About the drama in the family,
right?
Yeah.
So the first question they asked him, they were like, yo man, you know, as the leader, as Umtitieli wa Mabuto, are there going to be Mabuto at the funeral? And he was like, yeah man, we're going to pull up. It depends. People are coming in
top.
From different parts. Yeah, we're taking it to the top. We're out here, you know? And then they're like, yo man, what's going on in the royal household? And then he's like, wrong.
Sure. No, and then there was one interviewer who was asking him, you know, everyone wants to interview. He was like, even you now.
And then he like rushes the interviews, like, anyway, ask your questions, my man. I need to move. What's the story?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, I don't know that. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Kilichage. Sorry.
No, that guy, you're.
No, he's your spirit animal friend.
Yeah, but I also want to. Sorry, man, before we kick into the show. Wait, okay. Doing country's duty here. The woman box. The woman box, they qualified for the Rugby World Cup quarterfinals. The woman box.
What are they called? The Pokies?
It's not called woman box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cooler name would have been Pokies.
It makes them like small boxes.
It's not small boxes.
Why couldn't they just be like the earlands or something? Like, why did they also have to be?
Well, spring
boxes. No, but a Boki. Boki is like.
I know, female. But woman box doesn't even sound cool.
Woman box. Anyways, woman box.
They qualified. They beat Italy on Sunday, 24-29, to qualify for the quarterfinals. First time ever. So. Shout out to
South Africa's
team.
Doing too much in everything. Yeah,
I know.
It's our season. They found us.
Okay, it's your show. Okay.
Right. So, anyway, talk about you and what you're doing.
Zotina. Know
Hi, Pearl. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mm. You've lost a lot of weight. You look very model-like. Is this your new. Are you training for a new role?
What's that thing that those guys...
You know actresses, how they do, bro. They go on like Ozempic and then they're this character, then they get fat and then they're this... What's happening?
No, I think...
You look good, friend.
Thank you, babe. Mm. Thank you. I think for me, there was a long period where I was like really uncomfortable actually in my body. Mm. But it kind of... But it looked... It didn't look bad. I can't say I felt like my body... Okay, sometimes I did. Especially like just before my period. And it was just. I don't know if
like
you want
the period show
now. Should I give you my calendar? Would you like the clock?
Well, we know now. You already told us where you're at.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you said you're in the red zone.
No, I'm not.
No.
Now you know.
I'll look at my phone. We'll see.
Let me check the group.
I started doing this. Wow. Jesus. No.
Oh my God.
So I started doing this detox like a few years ago. And so every month for like 5 days. And I always, I'm not being paid to do it. Mm. And I've always just kind of been like been sharing information for people, not just women or whatever, to be able to take care of themselves. And it's by an approved, like an experienced woman who's OBGYN. A dietitian.
Like proper, you're not just
No. And she makes the stuff at home. Her and I even have like a love for gardening. Mm. So she grows a lot of the stuff that sometimes she uses in the food as well.
Dope.
And excuse me. And so she... You know, she packages some food and then she sends it to you. And so for 5 days, you eat clean every month.
Also.
Just for five clean days. And after like 6 months, if you do this thing straight, I've only done it twice this year because of traveling. But after like 6 months of doing this, like I would start craving salads, like craving a salad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's
because your body's kind of like
my
now
body now understands if you want potassium, you can get it from a banana. If you want this, instead of... You thinking about something you that is really going to have more harmful effects. Yeah, sure, yeah, I understand. So, and it's really been good for me. It's kind of like just the maintenance of it, you know. Because sometimes now throughout the month, I'll have maybe like 5 days, one day of every other week where I like really go crazy, but or during the week of my period, and it's been.
There we go again.
It's been
you keep updating BH like you guys are.
Period
like
A.
You guys are planning like a baby. Bro.
Cement.
No.
Oh.
Please keep that juju somewhere else. So yeah, I've just been like working out and just eating right, and also kind of like not being out too much.
That's good.
You know
what
I mean?
Out too much?
Like just staying home, man. Like stay home.
A new party though. Like you're always out, bro.
Ask me, how many times have you seen me out this year?
I saw you on the stage at Z Nation.
That was the only time you saw me out when I was busy doing a festival.
Oh, well, I also don't go out, so I suppose.
Okay, I had another gig that night, but I don't like, it's just, I'm at a place where I'm really just trying to reorganize my personal algorithm because there's so much of like, thank you. Yeah, because like I realized like now I'm doing things for likes, I'm doing things for repost and begging for comments. And I didn't come here to do that.
Mm.
I didn't come to this industry to do that. Like, I came here to make an impact. And the amount of likes you get, like, it doesn't really say much about the impact you're making in the world.
Mm.
And I feel like there's a message now that's going out there that the only way you've made an impact is based on like a measurable number of likes, which a lot of people can buy anyway, you know? And so
in the attention economy.
Exactly. Mm. Yes, exactly.
So you have to constantly be looking for attention.
Exactly. So I got a bit tired of that, and I had to kind of step back so that I can be comfortable. And I think it's an addiction. Actually,
yeah, people get stuck in like
and I
think especially for women, you know, because you guys are judged on like,
have you seen this dumb shit men, you know, the dumb shit men do on YouTube and whatever for attention? It's affecting everyone
across the board.
No, but saying you're like, because you know, at face value, I think that women, fortunately for you, you are visually appealing, but there's this thing where like you're very youthful looking, you know what I mean?
All right, thank you.
You've been on for 20 years.
More, you, but that's not good.
You check what I'm saying. And I feel like there's this undue pressure on you guys where anytime you do something, people like judge women a lot harsher than men. It's like I can do something and say I'm now doing this. I'm not going to get this thing where it's like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we're tired of you, or you are forcing, or you are trying to be relevant. And then they measure it according to those likes. They're like, you're doing this thing and this thing only got X amount of attention, which means it didn't work.
Mm.
But sometimes you're not doing it with the intention of getting, you know, like you don't set out to get fucking 10,000 likes on whatever it is you do.
Mm.
So do you let that pressure get to you? What is your relationship like with social media?
I think there was a time where definitely that mattered to me. And that's when I started noticing that there's a problem. You know what I mean? Because I never used to check the ratings for Live Amp or RGB or even the radio
it used
show.
To bang.
I mean, yeah, I didn't have to.
And then we left and then it died.
Ah, okay. Okay. Wow. I didn't.
It did.
Can I not train for saying that? Because I just was sitting here.
No, it's not necessarily anybody's fault.
Well, the production came to an end.
No, but also, you see that attention economy? That thing started really being a thing post Live Amp and TV. It's like when we were on in 2012, it was a very different relationship with the audience. If you were on TV, you were fucking on. I actually had this conversation with a friend of mine who's been offered something similar on television. And she was like, yo, this thing has now been offered to me. I think it's going to bang. And I was like, listen, be realistic in your dreams. When I was on that thing and Pearl was on that thing, and you're talking fucking 13, 14
years ago.
When TV
was on top, basically.
Yes, TV was on top at the time. TV's not on top anymore, which has necessitated this thing where we've got to find what's on top and we've got to be getting all the likes there, getting all the views there.
Can I find a way to, like, maybe let's discuss it. I don't want to say let me correct you because maybe I'm wrong. I think for me, I think TV is still very powerful. Otherwise, companies wouldn't still be making ads. I think it doesn't necessarily translate onto social media the way it used to. I think broadcasting is still got some strength.
100%.
Not as much as before, but I think the mistake is now assuming that it's going to translate on social media. Now there are two different platforms that don't always have something to do with each other anymore. And that has been quite interesting to me. So I think most recently I've just learned that. But you were getting to a question, sorry.
Yes, no, but just on your point, I also feel like, I'm glad you made that point, because when I think about that time, remember we used to go to Dogotweni. You understand?
Yeah.
So you're going to be on SMZ1.
A long ass drive, and you're not getting paid extra, you're getting paid the same fee every
but
month.
But when you get to Dogotweni,
they know you.
Remember, he's we lit. Went to, dude, I think we went to ShopRite or Checkers or something. Remember we stopped, we heard my play. The fan love. The
fan
shop
love.
Like shut down, dog. Really? They saw Pearl. The people left, the cashiers left the tills. Like riots inside Checkers because it was in Dogotweni. You're not going to go to Checkers in Sandton City and get the same
thing. No, not a chance.
And
no.
Because you need to live in Sandton, do you understand? These new stars, they want to live in Sandton. They want to be on SABC 1. And then it's like, oh, but this thing is not working for me because Pegaman just sent in a bangas. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, how be it to go to it? No one is trying to go
or
to go
crazy
Dwayne.
On TikTok, and then you'll see the little teens there and Santa are going to lose their
but
minds.
But if you're big on TikTok, you're going to get the love. You're going to get the fan love. You know, these little tweezies. What do they call those lights? My son was trying to educate me. We went to Monte Casino. They're fucking everywhere, dog.
La tweezies.
La tweezies, right? Have you seen how they come and take over a place? Yeah. Bro, my son is also
them.
Like, oh, these ones. But when I went to see the action that they get online, yo, PH, lights are big online, bro. You know? So it's just like, it's like a different generation, different audience. But you are still here. New to betting? EasyBet.co.za makes it simple, fun, and exciting, even if it's your first time. Sign up now and score 50 Rand sign-up bonus with no deposit needed. Just use the promo code SHADYPH and it's yours instantly. Looking for more? Your first deposit gets a 150% bonus up to 1,500 Rand. So that's more to play and bigger chances to win. But wait, there's more. EasyBet will match your first bet up to 500 Rand, so you're getting extra play without extra spend. Even if luck is not on your side, then they give you back 15% of your losing bets every week. Now that's backing real players. And the best part is that there's even more waiting when you join. So head on over to easybet.co.za now and check it out for yourself. T's and C's apply. EasyBet Group Pty Limited is licensed and regulated by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 may gamble, and winners know when to stop.
I wonder if it's the same as us, where people saw us on screen and thought, yo, we're eating, we're charging money. Mm. I wonder if social media is the same. Like, do people know how to charge on social media? Do they have the numbers to charge better so that they can sustain? It's the same problems, different day.
Different platform.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Different platform, same problems. Because I'm also noticing brands lately are going, like, kind of crazy with the offers they're doing for social media posts. I also had to just pull back to like, be like, to guys,
yeah,
everybody needs to relax. Like, I'm not serving here Captain Desperado. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't know.
Are the rates low?
Yeah, some of them are coming with the weird rates. And I'm just like, hey, man, I'm fucking Pearl Tuzi, you need to chill.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Like, guys, this self-awareness is also important.
She's Zulu and yellow.
Exactly. Yeah. She grew up in the ghetto, but don't you pay me some
don't
nonsense.
Take me for a booze.
Exactly. Yeah. So, anyway, but I mean, I'm not saying all brands are like that. I'm not saying that's my general problem.
Yes.
You know, I'm just saying that I'm noticing that coming from a modeling, you said, you remember you said I'm serving model because yes. I come from that background.
And now you're going back there.
It paid better anyway. What I mean? Yeah. Might as well. But I mean, that's changed now because of the influencer culture or influencer industry, which is a beautiful industry. But I think I must let people know that brands have a lot more money than they say they do. And models will tell you for sure, like what people used to pay on, like what I used to get for doing one TV ad at like the age of 18, 19 versus what I see. It's like this. And the thing is, sometimes it's the same amount and that's the scary part for
20 years later.
Exactly.
Yeah, but there's less money in circulation now and there's more.
There's more money in circulation, but it's not getting to.
No. There's more platforms, and when I say platforms, people including, right? Mm. Back then, there was limited. It was like either Life Amp, Pearl Tusi, Warwick Stock, a handful of places where you could.
Yes, you had like three options.
And throw that gang money, right? Now, there's a million and more. It's like, no. It's oversaturated is what I'm trying to get at.
I hear you, but they're breaking it all up into little pieces.
Yeah, no. The money's still.
And so the money is still there. But they're breaking it up into little pieces.
It's spread across more
platforms.
And for
me, the problem isn't even that. That's not even the problem. The problem is, if that is your amount, go and give it to people who are coming up who can make your the macro. Is it the micro influencers?
Micro, yeah.
Micro.
And
don't come with the amount that you are offering the micro influencer and come to me. Do you know how hard I've worked? Do you know how much quicker I get the job done? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
There's experience. It's like this is y'all making this weird.
No, but you know the problem is also then your peers go and take that money that you didn't take. So then the standard comes.
That's been happening.
No. But that's another problem is that you. Who has values and obviously respect is a self-respecting
coming from the school that you come
yes,
from.
Yes, we'll be like, no.
There used to be a morality in the game.
Yeah, my time equates to X.
Mm.
But then the same person, you know, because we're in a business of politics of the stomach, unfortunately.
Mm. They say some people fear poverty.
Yeah, the next person on the same level will take that very same amount. And unfortunately, that's what then
and you know,
destabilizes.
Because we like
things,
unity as an industry.
Yeah.
And when I say industry, I'm not just talking about, like when you look at the acting thing, how we're struggling to support that union. You know, there is an acting union in South Africa.
Yeah.
Nearly powerless because actors will not unite so everyone gets paid better and so that everyone can be protected.
Yeah. What can you educate, honestly, the real question, because I've never acted. I know you acted at some point. No, that's where you started. What is the deal there? Like, what is their gripe? Are they arguing for royalties? Are they arguing for unionization?
They're arguing for something that if actors could band together, and this shouldn't be on the actor's shoulder. It's like, it's royalties, it's residuals, it's, which is kind of like the same thing. It's like an industry standard for payment. It's so that broadcasters and productions don't make the money alone and so that they continue to... what's the word that starts with an E? Exploit. Mm. Like, so that they don't have to continue exploiting artists, which is what they're doing. And it's, what's sad is when you see other actors doing exactly the same thing. You know what I mean? Once they grow in that world and go behind the camera.
Once they become the production.
Exactly. But what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to get at is, if we can, in our separate industries, but like in America, that union is one union. Yes, it has its branches, but if you're part of the union, there's a certain level of like respect that you're going to get like on set. There's a certain level of respect that you're going to get in terms of what you're getting paid, you know, residuals, depending on where you're ranking in the cast list, et cetera, things like that. So if we could get, if one of the industries could get it right, it could help every other industry create a standard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. So that everybody can get paid what's due to them based on, you know, what
this thing is making.
Exactly. Mm.
So, I mean, to put it into music terms, I remember pre-COVID, I was in a group with like a bunch of DJs.
Or that group?
No, not that one. No. Oh. And there was another one where it was just like...
There's a DJ group.
There's a secret DJ group where only if they think you're cool, they let you in and share exclusives. I have not been invited to this group. Well,
there's a secret DJ group where... If you're in, we share the menstrual calendars of famous...
Jesus stars. Christ, how did... Anyways, what I was trying to say before I was rudely interrupted is you know, obviously of a certain standard where it's just like, yo, we're not taking fees less than X amount.
Sure,
so if they came to me, they went to Pearl, they went to you or whoever, we're not... And we know that this is the promoter and it would be in the group where it's just like, oh, this is the fee that came in. From this
yes, I see,
region or whatever, knowing that the chances are, because the attention is on me, you, we're all not going to take that fee. So it kind of standardized things to say, this is, you know.
Was Black Coffee in that group?
No, I'm not going to mention any names.
It doesn't matter, but it's a good idea. Yeah, because what Oaks are going to say is they're going to say, okay, this venue in KZN, for example, we want to fly PH out, right? Sure. Then it's like PH, we're offering 10. Make an example, right? PH is like, nah, 120. Then they go and they say to spare, hey, my man, now 15.
Sure.
If you share that info in the group,
spare
can say, no, 20.
Sure.
You understand? Whether you get the work or spare gets the work, the price is respected.
Standard.
Because what will end up happening is niggas communicate behind your back and then get somebody for a lesser rate.
Yeah.
And then that sets the new standard. Because post-COVID, That's exactly what it's been, a struggle, even
when I was like still just kind of pulling up and doing hosting or whatever, like that, which I also enjoyed.
Sure.
But it's really like I've noticed that like, yo, man, people are willing to suffer for a very long time. And I can understand why. Like, I'm not judging anyone. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to say,
not everybody's pocket is the same.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you can also, you know how when actors strike in the States, for example, I mean, it's the only example I can speak. A writer's strike or whatever. Everybody bands together. Nobody is going to work. Like, nobody is going to be doing anything with that particular, like, company or industry for a while. So, a lot of people suffer for a short time so that everybody has a good time in the long.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to.
But people are not willing to suffer for a few weeks, a few months, so that for the next 20 years...
We can be solid,
and we build a better industry. It's almost like, yo, do we need like an industry apartheid so that we finally come together? Like, you know what I mean? Do we need everyone to suffer at the same time? But I think people are not recognizing their value and the fact that they are already suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just obviously the whole thing is to not be undercut. Because even in the acting space, I found out now that, I don't know if it was generations, but there's a production that's big in Brazil, right? And it's a South African production that's big in Brazil. And none of the actors, I think they dub it in Brazil.
To Portuguese, yeah.
To whatever the language, I think Portuguese, but none of the actors... get anything from that show, from obviously it being licensed that side. And obviously I'm trying to think, bro, if I acted on something and I'm in like five different other countries,
but if your song is played in Brazil,
you need story. To get
yeah. You're gonna get if yeah, you're getting royalties. Gigs you're getting gigs mm. You're getting royalties 100%. There's a bunch of things that you're getting and 100%. That it's like actors are not being respected but they're yeah. Also not willing to suffer for a short period of time together for the greater good.
Mm. It's tough. Look, the arts is one tough place to be in. I think when you pop, you're good, you know. But it's a very short lifespan. But post, that's when you start. And sadly, a lot of people start thinking about those things that I should have fought for those royalties. I should have fought for this. Where's my money from? You know, this ad and this, that, the other. That's the sad part is that we wake up late.
Mm. Mm. What would you have been doing if you weren't famous?
I would have been a wildlife vet.
A wildlife vet.
Is that cuisine?
I love animals.
Wild.
I'm wild, but I realize my personality, I love dogs and cats, but I was going to get bored.
Wait now. When you were 18, did you know that, damn, I want to be a wildlife vet?
My entire life, my dad even like, ufuna ba udokotela oyilwane.
Yeah.
Like,
a lwan doctor.
He used to say, we're zinja, but, you know, I couldn't help him. Mm. But I used to watch a lot of, like, those animal shows, like, over cartoons any day. And, well, cartoons also repeated, so it was, sure. But I used to watch those, and then I used to see that there were people who would clean the wounds off these animals, like, yeah. Who would get to be next to them. And I just thought, oh, my God, imagine, like, helping a rhino, helping a giraffe. Really? Like, that was, like cleaning pus out of it. Like, I wasn't even I was not even grossed out by it. Yeah. Where if a human were to be like, pop my pimple, I might puke. Do you know what I mean? Like, and because it's happened, my own father was like, oh, that's not what I said. Get somebody else to do it. But like, I would watch those shows and see like blood and broken limbs and like they would help these animals. Yeah. And so I've always had an affinity and a deep empathy for animals that I thought I would make a career out of. That's why I work with a lot of wildlife organizations.
Mm.
Dope. Okay, so, you know, obviously we've been trying to dig into you. Tell us
why. Please don't dig into me, PH. You of all people with your apps.
Hey, guys, we can't talk about a menstrual cycle, when periods are, and digging into each other. Like, what's wrong with you?
Can ask me a few questions, though.
You know, I was talking to myself.
As you were saying.
Just. How's it? Why are we here, Kwanche? What's happening? There's rumors I'm hearing. Yes.
Sorry. I was like, you know, as you say rumor, you're giving PTSD. Oh, like, sorry. You know what I mean? Like, PTSD is Sunday World
Paul
Days.
Paul Tussi's
like,
a scandalous figure.
Wow.
No, I'm just walking around and I'm being told
there is excitement. Friend, you said I used to act at some point. No, I still also act. Like,
you do? I've got experience.
I'm multi-talented.
Yes.
I did a series this year. There's a movie I might be traveling to the Caribbean to go and shoot now.
Dope.
Which is exciting. So kind of like the acting has also allowed me to be a bit more inward, you know, because I've realized like as... When you DJ, like people consume your energy.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, you're offering it freely, but there's a lot of consumption of your energy.
100%.
And it's actually like, I don't know if a lot of people make time. I had a bit of a burnout. I don't know if a lot of people make time to replenish that energy. So I've just been making time for that. Okay. But we are here because something special is about to be launched.
Yes, girl. Yes.
I'm quite excited. I'm doing a little project with my daughter.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm a little project. Tando and I are putting out a podcast.
Dope.
And we are learning from the best, Dabona. But the podcast is meant to bridge the gap. So we're actually still struggling with the name, but I don't know if bridge the gap.
There's the name right there, Bridging the Gap.
But Angiti Marvin is like super stressed about like, there's already a show called Bridging the Gap. Like, who gives a fuck, nigga? Like, yeah. Oh my God.
I like the other name. The
original name was It's Not That Deep.
Yeah.
And but there's a show apparently already on SABC also. And it was going to give us space. Deep. Yeah. And I was like, we can say it's not that deep, but Pill Too. And Tando, like whatever, you know, but then he was stressed about, you know, Marvin.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then he's trying to call the show Raising Thanos.
We have someone here named Marvin, man's gay.
Like, hey, don't. Like, anyway, Marvin was like Raising Thanos because Tando, Thanos.
Oh.
And these kids are wild. And I was just
Thanos.
And I was like, I'm not trying to have any of them big corporations trying to fry me.
Sure.
I don't have much to take, but I don't want to keep the little that I have.
And Tando's already raised.
Also.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. And then What was the other name we came up with? Oh, the last one, which I think was Tano's idea when we were busy recording, was like, yo, say less. Like, say less.
That's cool.
That's dope.
Yeah,
as well.
That's pretty
that's
cool,
a nice
right?
Name, yeah.
So I think, like, I say think, less, listen
I
more.
I think what's clear from what you're telling us now is let's let Tando handle
yeah.
to come up
well, let me, but let me tell you what's the thing is, this is
bridging
her show.
The gap.
It's yeah, like bridge the gap, not bridge.
Nah, bro, that's very pre upper. Like,
it's very,
you know what I mean? It's very millennial. What a legend. So yeah, she said, no, let's call it Say Less. I was like, oh, because someone actually said Say Less while we were like, yeah, let's call the show that.
That's dope.
So yeah, so
I'd like to put my vote in for Say Less.
I also clack it. Mm. Yes. Anyway, but I, you know, I said to Tando, okay, we need to do something cool. We need to do something together so that she can also learn how to, you know, be a part of the economy.
Sure.
You understand? And as a mom, being supporting her, yeah?
Is this a space that she's trying to get into or?
Yeah, it is something that she's interested in. I think she's also kind of discovering herself. She's going to study not to be an environmental engineer. She's studying environmental engineering to get into the business of it. Dope. You understand? So that's what she wants to do. But she's also, you know, her mom and dad are both entertainers. So she, you know, she has access.
She's kind of, she's been in it by association.
She's,
yeah.
She's blessed. If it's in your genes, then it's in your genes.
Okay.
And so we're excited. She developed the show. She nice. Created the proposal. She created. I said, this is your show. I'm just serving. I'm serving presenter.
Got you.
Mm. You are the producer. You are the executive producer, and you're also going to be the star of the
show.
Learning
the ropes, yeah.
And also, I mean, I think with our reality show, we learned that like Tando has her own following, her own stardom that's growing, and you know, so she's exploring that.
Okay.
And I want to be there to guide her. You know, I want to be sitting in and listening and making sure, like, you know, sometimes I'll be like, oh, cut. Oh, it's only happened once, where I was like, cut, Tando. You know, what was she doing? She kept checking her laptop, and I'm like, you're the producer of the show, and you're still checking your laptop to see what's supposed to be happening. Like, that's not going to be happening. And it's like, it was the second or the third time she was like trying to make a point to a guest, like after she, you know, just being doing childlike things, which is natural, you know,
which is normal.
Which is super, super normal. And I was
saying
to her,
you're trying to sort of mentor her.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm molding. Like, you seem like you know, you just cut the person off to correct or to add information, but now you are serving. Me.
Now you're spilling the tea.
I'm sure that one already exists though. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's been really exciting, like kind of working on this project with her and figuring things out. And I've been learning a lot and growing. Mm. So we've had really interesting guests come through. We've had some friends come through to talk to us. Oh. And I mean, there've been tears on set. There's been a lot of laughs and stuff like that. But I think what's really special is, whether it be for brand partnerships or for the audience, there's a lot of people who say, Pearl, like, I wish you were my mom. I wish you were my big sister. This is kind of like an opportunity to
look into Pearl the mom.
Exactly. Mm. And also to understand my, you know, my flaws and where I lack. So in the show, we have like a part where we have a game where she educates us on the new Gen Z lingo. And it turns out,
I was going to say, the gap that you're trying to bridge is the Gen Z gap. It's almost like stardom in the time of Tando versus stardom in the time of Pearl.
I guess that's an interesting way to put it. Yeah. I think it's very much, though, like talking about money, talking about health, talking about all the different things that create a gap and a divide between mother and child of different
generations.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we talk about a lot of different things, like how things used to be done, how teenagers are feeling right now about what's happening in their worlds. Thank you. What's happening in their worlds and what's happening in their psyches and what's happening at school. Like, I'm learning a lot from it. Mm. So it's really informative, but it's also quite entertaining because you also get to kind of get a real picture of me and Tando's relationship. I mean, I think I've had to give the mom look on camera a few times. Like, it's, you know, it gets real between us. So yeah, it's very exciting, and I hope people enjoy it. But we didn't do it so that, you know, I'm trying to make sure. Yes, we obviously need numbers, but I don't want Tando's self-esteem or self-awareness to be
Highly mustn't base it on that attention
economy. Exactly. Yeah, I want moms and kids, or even them separately, to watch it and somehow feel more connected to themselves and more connected to their child, and vice versa when they watch. Yeah.
Say Less. I love that name.
Yeah. Mm. Say Less. Like Pearl, Say Less, Pearl. Say less.
Say Less, mom. I got this.
So the first three episodes are going to be a bit shaky because the name was not Say Less.
You're going to have to re-record. Yeah, welcome to Say Less, or welcome to...
No, we're not re-recording anything. It's already recorded. And we're just going to mute here and there, correct ourselves, make a joke, find a clever way to edit it.
When do we go live? When
are we going live? Marvin!
Marvin's in a meeting.
This Friday? Oh, Thursday. Yes, we spoke about Thursday. Because cool. It's like people are already now winding down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thursday is like we thought it was a good day. What do you think is a good day to launch?
Thursday is a good day. Mm.
Thursday is a good day.
Okay,
right?
It'll be a weekly pod.
Wednesday, 3 p.m.
No, that's us.
Oh, I was like, what is, okay.
Aha, idiot.
Wednesday, 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So yeah, Thursday I think is a good time.
Okay.
What did you ask me? Sorry.
Weekly. Is it going to be a weekly pod, or are you going to space it out quite a bit?
Yeah, I guess so. We've already recorded like, what, 4 or 5 episodes?
Okay.
So,
it's a nice head start.
So we've got a nice... Because I said to her also, I said to the team, I don't want to depend on trending things and
current conversations,
in order to feel like that's the only way we can get attention. We're interesting.
Sure.
And we are interested. So we don't have to plug into things that are fleeting, unless something really poses like an interesting
topic.
Like the most recent one we did, we invited someone who works in like the legal field. We were talking about that stuff with, I already forget the name, but where the girls were being taken and basically like...
Human trafficking.
Yeah, that one. So we were talking about that, but then we used it as an example to kind of create social media awareness for people, like safety. What is legal to do online? What's not legal to do online? What the evolution of what's going to be happening online is going to look like in terms of, you know, AI, etc. Mm. Like all those things.
Almost like how not to get trapped.
How not to put yourself in danger. And one of the important lessons a guy shared was like, yo, if your life had a billboard... You know, let's say your social media was a billboard outside your house that everybody got to see.
Mm.
Everything on your phone could end up on your billboard. So be careful what you put in your phone, because it could easily end up on your billboard. And the Jennifer Lawrence thing where she took a nude selfie, immediately deleted it, but it was already on the cloud. Someone hacked her and selfie ended up on social media.
Damn.
So go check out y'all's phones. And if you're worth hacking.
Do you have nudes on your phone?
Like, not trappy nudes, but I've sometimes looked at myself undressed, being like, wow, you look amazing, but not necessarily to send to someone.
Mm.
Thank God dick pics are awkward. I mean...
Do you have nudes on your phone?
No, I don't do that shit. Like, no, dick pics are weird.
I've never asked.
Why? Dog, imagine now. Come on.
I'm also not serving like that. Like, girls also apparently get asked for that. No one's ever dared.
What?
To ask me for like...
For nudes.
A video or something of me, you know.
I asked you.
Because you were not being serious, firstly.
I was.
shit is whack.
I didn't get it.
If you have to ask for the pictures, guys, it means...
Yeah, also.
Like, if you have to ask, just don't ask.
You know, like, you're trying to steer the conversation. Like, yeah, man, you know my boob. I don't know. It's been feeling weird. Let me see the pic.
Yeah, let me see.
KP does that, weirdo.
Hey, why not?
Oh,
why are you now airing your friends?
Hey, KP. Everybody knows KP's my friend. You know, they once called him, what did they call him on social media? No, one of the papers. We even started calling him that name. They gave him a name that was wrong, and we started calling him that name.
PK.
It was something else. But it was also like letters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got it wrong. And no. It's like you. It's like my relationship with KP is like your relationship.
None of your relationships are like your relationship.
Speaking of relationships, how's your current one going?
My current relationship is with myself, my future, my daughter. I've wholly invested. I told you, internal algorithm. I feel clean, man.
You don't have a bae.
I think.
The way you're saying,
No, man. Like, first of all.
Who dropped you outside? I'm joking.
Like, I literally drove here.
Okay.
And I think I made a promise to myself after the last relationship I was in not to get into anymore until Thando was done with school, nice. So that I could feel like I'm done with my job, you know?
Of being a parent.
I think it was...
To a minor.
Yeah, exactly. It was the most... It's the most pivotal time, that time just before they, you know, fly out the nest.
Mm. Sure.
And I wanted to be solely focused on her, and I didn't want her to feel like she has to share me with anybody. Nope. She already doesn't have her father, like, there. So, you know, I'm all she's got. And so it also takes a lot more out of me, because it's like, whatever the father's supposed to be dealing with, I have to deal with, negative and positive, you know? Mm. So the fights she's supposed to be having with her dad, or maybe even her frustrations with her father, are probably subconsciously taken out on me. Mm. So I need...
You're the only parent.
Chose that father for her. I brought her to this world, and so I need to deal with that, you know. Even if it's in teaching her that, you know, hey man, don't fry me for I made a mistake, I'm sorry, you know,
sure.
type of thing. Sure. So I think it's made me a better mother, to be honest, and it's made me a happier person. I have a lot more peace in my life. I'm not worried. I have no one gaslighting me on my phone and stressing me out, and you know, worrying about birthdays, more birthdays than I already have to worry about. I'm happy. I have peace.
Mm.
I'm in a relationship with peace.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
I love that, Finn. You sound
at peace.
At peace, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not looking. I'm not trying.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's been hitting me up from like Beverly Hills that got Joe's number, and then
from Beverly Hills.
This guy is struggling to. And
aren't we on the same dating app?
I haven't been on that app in a while.
Are you on a dating app?
It used to be exclusive. It's not anymore. When PH got there, that's when I knew it went down.
Then it's fallen.
That's when I knew. I guess my target market's not here anymore.
It's,
like,
it's ridiculous. It's like
it's expensive.
It's like R1,000, isn't it?
Yeah.
What?
For like 6 months.
Yeah, Raya.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, right.
And I've seen some super basic people being like, oh, I saw you on Raya. Then I was like,
yo,
my profile is there, but you didn't see me. Trust
guys,
me.
About me now, I've always been cool in real life. I'm not on a dating.
I was interested to find out.
It's really, I've enjoyed some of the people I've met, like on Raya. Mm. Like, it doesn't mean every person.
Doesn't have to be
like Tinder. Some of it is just like friendship.
It was a social.
It's also a social app. Yeah. It's like.
Mind you, when you're going to go.
No, I was traveling, and not the Colombia one. Okay, not the Colombia sticky. You know, no, but this is, I think maybe 2-3 years ago, I was traveling and someone was like, yo, are you on Raya? Show me. I was like, yeah, what the hell is Raya? And then obviously. Data.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, who taught me about Raya? I think it was Deliz and Sarah Langa.
Oh, yeah.
And tonight, Deliz obviously knew all about Raya. Who else?
Were they on Raya? Else.
Yeah, Deliz was on Raya.
Yeah, so Raya's like, bro, they dig deep and you have to like prove who you are. And then there's a standard of like,
They have someone has to vouch for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, now there's everybody. There's like a bit of a riffraff there now. Because it was also very entertainment at some point.
Yeah.
And business only. Now you'll find.
Oh, it's that one. We're like almost like entertainment industry.
You have
people
to be rich
to.
And famous, or rich or famous.
That's how it started.
So that the caliber of people that
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Oh, the caliber of people there once upon a time. Raya, get it right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Say Less is the name of the show. We're looking forward to it.
Say Less is the name of the show. Raya is the name of the app.
Raya is the name of the app. But yeah, looking forward to it.
You've
got to
be rich or famous.
Are you going to watch? What are you hoping to see?
I've hung around the both of you, so you guys are cool.
Do you think I'm interesting enough to have a podcast?
You're extremely interesting.
Lucky.
I've hung around you
quite often to be like, oh, she's cool.
You're also very interesting. I think there's sides of you that you haven't shown. That's why, like, you know, the chat we're having earlier about, unfortunately, because we exist in the attention economy, people see you online and then they think they know you.
Mm.
So they think they know your billboard because of whatever they see, and then they judge whatever they see and they're like, ah, oh, this bitch, unje.
They think they also know everything they haven't seen on your billboard.
Yes,
yeah.
But then those of us who know that there's like entire sides to Pearl that
the
people
beekeeper,
don't know.
Farmer.
That's why I never chowder.
Oh, because you wanted me to stay a friend.
Yes, I didn't want to lose you as a friend, you know. But it didn't mean I was rejecting you. You're beautiful. I know you cried about it, but...
Ah, whatever. Guys, please watch Say Less. Say Less and just watch Say Less, please. Like, just listen more and say less. But also just get involved. Learn. Let's grow together. We'd love to get, like, a lot of constructive feedback. Negative can be constructive, guys. It doesn't have to be destructive. Especially my child is involved. So, you know, like... let's not be weird. Mm. Yeah. And
have you cognized about that thing to say that, you know, this place kind of is world. Not a real place?
Mm. I'm trying, like, even with just trying to be like, you don't need to post that, or don't post that because you're going to regret if things go wrong, like boyfriends or whatever, you know?
Mm.
And slowly she's learning. I've realized that the more I'm brave enough to say don't do something, and then in retrospect or in hindsight, she ends up learning the thing.
Mm.
She'd be like, she started saying, oh my gosh, you're right. I wish I listened to you.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Because you've walked this path.
Exactly. Yeah. Then I say to her, but this is in different things. And I say to her, you remember that time when I said, I into this thing. I'm now, this is a new thing, man. This one. Mm. Don't do this.
Mm.
Don't do this.
Then she does it, she sees.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and now I'm in that world. I think we have therapists and other things like that put in place to make sure her mental health is together. But there's only one way to really learn how to deal with, you know, people's opinions, and that's to experience it and realize that it don't mean shit.
It's like scary, eh? Like you've got to shield your child actually from so much.
Mm.
Because there's just so much out there that can
people
actually
are so broken, they have to break everything around them, you know?
What you mean? So, like the people on social?
Yeah, and the only way to not be broken by people, whether it be in real life, in social media, in anything, is to not expose yourself to them. But no one can live like that. But sometimes you need to just take that time out, you know, like put yourself back together and then.
Yeah, it also makes you nasty. I think, I'm me.
Remember the shit like I used to say to people on social media?
Yeah, bro, like, that's who I am now. Like when people come at me on social, this one girl this morning, the way I saw her boss.
This is why nappies are 290 Rand.
Shout out to the nappy companies. Shout out to you guys.
This is why nappies are 290.
You fucking idiots.
All right, but
thanks for that segue.
Speaking of such, we do have a show on our hands here. A lot has been happening.
How's your current affairs knowledge, Paul?
I literally have not checked anything.
As a Zulu person, Mkhwanazi, Amas?
Mkhwanazi.
Oh, come on.
Amas Mkhwanazi.
Guys, when I say to you,
I'm not.
Last number. General.
General Mkhwanazi.
Lieutenant. General Mkhwanazi.
Oh, bro, that had a press conference and he said the country's run by a fucking syndicate of cartels.
Oh, I remember this. You actually explained this whole thing
Zulu
to me.
The Zulu nigga,
yeah,
bro.
Okay, now I remember. Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, long story short.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Uno mood. Too much. So Mkhwanazi, after the press conference, essentially what happened is he came out, he said there was a political killings task team that was headquartered, if you will, in KZN. They were investigating who is behind all of these politically motivated hits. During that investigation, there's somewhere in the region of 120 dockets, so particular case reports that have been opened, been investigated. Somewhere, somehow, a senior member of the police called those dockets back to Johannesburg and said, no, these ones mustn't be under you, Mkhwanazi. Let them come to Joburg and be under me.
And he said, why?
That's when he said,
Ngoban.
From there, Kwashi Kwaqima, press conference comes out. He's like, yo, in the midst of me investigating this thing, I found out that this fucking place is run by a cartel. The dockets were pulled by somebody above me and I want to know why, where the instruction is coming from, and allegedly, ganjani. Mm-hmm. I've also got WhatsApps, you know, like he had a whole dossier of evidence. After that, Cyril Ramaphosa announced there's going to be a commission of inquiry into the Madlanga Commission.
He actually paid attention to something?
He did. He does from time to time, and his speeches are prepared for him. So he pulled out with his iPad and he said, this is what we're going to do. And that commission has been delayed. It was supposed to start. Now the start date has been moved, whatever. But in the interim, what happened this past weekend? No, Mkhwanazi is doing his thing, right? What happened was the dockets that were pulled from him have been returned to the political killings task team. Because while we wait for the commission to start, umsebenzi phela kumele
kuqhubeke.
And that caused a reaction of some sort. So General Fani Masemula is the one who said, no, let the dockets be returned to Mkhwanazi and his team, essentially. And out came our new acting minister of police, Feroz Kachalia. He's a little Muslim man. He's got the voice of a 12-year-old girl, and he appears
on
TV.
Wow. Carry on.
Please.
Do you know the guy?
Just carry on.
His opinions are only of what I don't, just carry on. Not the show.
I'm just trying to give an accurate description of who I'm talking about. Because there's been many commissioners. I'm talking about the 12-year-old girl voice.
If it doesn't have to do with bees, my child, or my garden, I don't know what it is.
I'm listening.
Right. So he came out and he was like, nah, why are the dockets being moved? And I saw this. This is the original article that dropped. I commented on it. Many people were like, how? Manje wenungena api. No, but wait, now you are supposed to be acting commissioner. So umsebenzi wakho is at an administrative, legislative, running the show level. The actual police work that takes place is the job of police. So this is tantamount to interference. Why are you telling General Fanny Masimula how to do his job? Should he halt his job? Like, should the entire police force come to a stop because there's a commission coming? Yeah. Then I think a fatal flaw by number one. But anyway, this was a mistake.
Biggest.
Ramaphosa is fuming over Masimula's decision on the political killings docket. So he then came out and he also said, yo, nginenking, I mean, why are the dockets being returned? So what are your thoughts, PH, personally?
Oh, that's just telling.
Right.
That is telling. There's not much I can say. It's like, why? Le, far removed.
Yes. Now, from this department.
Shouldn't he be glad that the police is so excited to get something done? No, but obviously that's what I'm saying.
He's telling
him. Well, he should.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem to be. Mm. And I think that's what's... Besides the fact, it's not to say that he's involved. You know, like I was looking at a lot of political commentators on the weekend and I was like, nah, man. It's not so much that it gives the impression that there's interference.
Let's keep our hands clean here.
Yeah. my thing is that when Mkhwanazi had the press conference and said the things he said, there was a public sentiment about it. Even if, let's assume General Mkhwanazi was talking nonsense. Let's assume there's none of these allegations are even true. Let's assume he made up the whole thing. What it created in the court of public opinion is a citizenry that was like, yo, what the fuck is going on in our police? So people have lost faith in the police.
Sure.
They do not trust the higher echelons of police management.
Why do they?
And if you're
them?
Trying to fix that, when someone makes a move to say, hey, let's correct this thing that happened, let's return the dockets, we can't have you as the senior leadership coming out and saying, nah, why is that? Because again, in the court of public opinion, already you've damaged your trust with the people.
Sure.
And now you're doing this so clearly, or rather, as a result, the people are like, what the fuck is actually going
100%.
On?
100%. That's what I'm saying. It's telling, bro. Like, were they trying to hide something, that it's whether it's not him per se, or something that may lead to him, or connected to him, or, you know, anything.
I want to ask a controversial question.
Mm-hmm.
Can we, because it's very like, you know, if Trump did something or if Obama did something, there's always like that.
That comparison.
So like, I'm just like, coming from that world, not that I'm trying to say so-and-so is better than anyone else. No, I have no political type of knowledge to go take it that far. Just that I remember when the economy was nice, I know. And so...
we all do.
Not nice now.
I remember when the booking fee was 50K.
Magic in 5.
Magic in 10.
I remember when we had water. yeah. Anyway. Can you imagine a world where it was former President Jacob Zuma who had said, hey, I'm mad. Why are you... The country would have... Like, what are the... Because the white people would have been up in arms, firstly. What are they saying, like, with
you know,
with Ramaphosa's
there's an overall
reaction?
Silence from whites any time that Cyril Ramaphosa does anything controversial.
We don't want to, you know, get into this because Bazotsi as Hlanganaphi anyway, as if we don't, you know, part, as if we're not part of this country. Yeah, exactly. But I really feel like as a country, it's really interesting, like, and not to say that, like, I'm trying to demonize any particular race in our country. It's just to say, like, it's really interesting the reactions you'd get from a Zuma doing something or, a former President Zuma or a former President Thabo Mbeki or former President whatever. And with
they appear Brasero. To have favorites.
No, but remember, who control, like, NASPIS, News 24.
Yeah, who controls the media, yeah.
Yeah. They,
I think what any citizen, whether you know about politics or not, I think what should make people very uncomfortable is there are so many agendas agending. that come to light in these type of ways, where it's like anyone with a half a brain cell knows that at the point at which our country issues a commission of inquiry, announces a commission of inquiry, it is a delay tactic.
Of course.
That's just like an obvious one, undeniable.
Yeah.
Then the second thing is that, you know, our police are very important. As it is, the police have got a very tough relationship with they don't have a very good reputation. Sure. Generally, the public sentiment towards police. And a lot of the time, I actually feel like it's not police's fault. Sure. We've got 200,000 police trying to police 60 million people.
Yeah,
it's fucking impossible, you know? And in the security cluster,
like
I can tell you from experience,
else.
It's not an easy place to work in. We've got fucking criminality in this place that is like on another level.
What's
you
like
know?
The average like police?
It's one cop to what is it, 400 people? Something along those lines.
No, I mean 40. Like salary. Because I'm trying to think, how much would you have to pay me for me to risk my life?
Not enough.
Not enough, yeah. But I mean, obviously when you start and you're a junior, if you're earning like an 8K, there's nothing you can do. But you go up 16, 25, it just depends on your rank, how long you've been in the police force.
Not enough.
Yeah, but get really, really good.
No wonder
they get really good benefits. You know, like Paul Med, the medical aid that they're on, the union that they belong to, that sort of shit is nice if you're a policeman. It's also a career that if you do it for 30 years, you can retire with a nice pension. Mm. But there's that element of being a policeman where I feel like it's a calling. You know, there's a lot of police that I know that are like about it. You can tell these niggas are like Abo Rambo.
Sure.
And then there's other police, Laba Slangana Nabo, when we go to certify copies of our IDs and they're like, Funan. And then it's like, where Funan?
Yeah.
Funan.
Funan, love.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's also a different. So let's not count the whole 200,000. Sure. You know, out of the 200,000 police, let's say there's like 50
and let's just
that are fucking serious and 150 that
can
are.
Can I
like,
be on my PH? Which camera should I look at? Man, shout out to every policeman who takes keeping us safe seriously. Shout out to you. Whoever you, if you are watching this, I just want to say a big shout out to you. We thank you for your service on a very serious
And
note.
Shout out to the ones who don't take bribes.
And bro, did you see that article of that KZN cop? They offered him 5K. He said, 5K.
I'm arresting you now.
Get arrested. And then his friend came to offer 7 to get him out.
Arrested him same time. They were trying to get a car that had sheep in it.
Yes, goats.
Goats, there was goats.
Like a stolen shipment of goats.
There must have been something personal going on there, though.
No, he was doing his job. Say, oh, okay, you're bribing me.
He must go back in Cape Town.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're trying to bribe me. Get inside.
What's this one? Educate me. This is actually interesting. It's nice.
What's this?
Sasa.
Oh, that is it what bank lost?
Postbank.
Postbank lost the tender.
Well, Sasa, what are your thoughts on Sasa?
Tell me about Sasa.
Is Sasa Uyazi?
Uyazi Sasa.
I know them, I just don't know the thing.
Yeah, but as a single mom, you should know what Sasa is.
Government grants, 350.
Do I look like don't I would be allowed 800? In that building looking for a grant? Do I look like someone they'd be like,
saying,
let's give you.
I am saying that the country you live in, okay, mm-hmm. has blessed you and women who find themselves in a position where they are single mothers.
Okay, I know that
the 800 yengani.
I know that organization exists, but I didn't know that it's called Sasa.
Yes, and thank you for your service for not claiming, because you know you could go and claim and then you could be getting money for free from the government.
That's like stealing from other women who actually need it.
Oh, you've got morals.
That's it. This guy, let me tell you.
Imagine just standing in the queue for 800 rand.
Well done, friend.
Oh, thanks.
So anyway, Postbank is essentially in the process of losing. Their contract ends at the end of September, the 30th of September. It's the contract to provide the social grants. That contract, they estimate to be worth about 3 billion in service fees for facilitating
the payments.
What does
AMA
the SASSA stand behind? For? I'm going to be real
South
with you
African
guys.
Social Services Agency, I think.
Agency, yeah. Okay.
South African Social Services
okay.
Agency.
Nice.
And for, you know, things like SASSA for me, they start out, you know, they're very well-intentioned departments. They're obviously very necessary. There are people who need that 350 or that 800 for a child for disability. The 25 million people that find themselves on SASSA grants need those grants, pensions, etc. The issue is when you see an article like this, remember there's money involved. When Postbank is the responsible party for the distribution of those funds, they're making a massive fucking check, right? And now, because they're losing at end of September, they're saying that there are banks that are basically circling to be the new appointed vendor of the SASSA card.
Who do they think would be circling?
And if I take, well, all of them. Any bank in South Africa can say, no, we can handle.
What did they think was going to happen?
I get that. it's almost like, in order to have the grants, you have to have this thing where somebody gets paid to do the work.
Sure.
But if I can bring your attention to the Lotto one that happened recently. Remember that Lotto tender is also fucking massive, right? And it was, the tender was awarded to a KZN company.
Yeah.
And not long after it was awarded, how many people came out to say, these ones mustn't get it. There's irregularities with the tender. Because that shit is worth billions.
Yeah.
Right? But what is the Lotto for?
And all of it is public funding, because even the Lotto is the public's money, right?
Well, the Lotto is it's an NGO. It's supposed to be an NPO. So the money that we pay when we play the Lotto, all of the funds that are collected of the people who don't win, goes to thousands of NGOs around the country depend on that funding. So the Lotto needs to keep making money so that it can keep places of safety.
So who gives the money that gets won?
The company that manages.
It was Ituba. And now the new appointed company.
In my ignorance around that, because I've never thought to go and investigate how the lotto works, apart from understanding that you're not going to really win, is like, I thought that the money was like all combined over time, like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
For the person to win. So is there a company that then gives the money that's to be won, and then the money that isn't won goes then to the charities?
So there's a company
that manages the
money that's won. So Pearl wins the lotto this week, 50 million. That company, from Warwick, PH, and the millions of other people buying their lotto tickets, goes into a pool of money. So say this week the lotto raises 300 million rand. I'm using random numbers, right? Pearl wins 50 as the only winner of the jackpot. Waras wins 3 bars because I had 5 plus a bonus. PH wins 600,000 because he had 4 plus a bonus, or whatever the case is. When you count the number of winners, 300 million was brought in, 160 million was paid out. There's a profit of 140. The 160 is paid to us. We get our winnings. The 140 is allocated to the NGOs so that they can feed kids and look after women in places of safety.
And if no one wins, this one is a rollover.
When no one wins the grand prize, there's a rollover of the 50. But Tina, sawatola tina, I'm a 5 million wenu and I'm a 600,000, kanjan. So every week somebody wins. It's not like there's a week where zero winners. But the main jackpot amount, which sometimes has been in excess of 100 million. The scandal that is surrounding Lotto at the moment is that the same guy I was saying earlier that tweets about the betting companies, Kaushik, he did like a deep dive into the lotto is seeming a bit dodgy, because every winner, they'll be like, oh, the person that won this month played via the FNB banking
FNB
app.
Yeah.
Like 70% of the people that are winning via banking apps. It's irregular.
No longer tickets.
Yeah. Then when people are like, man, why is there so many winners on the FNB banking app? This is dodgy. Literally the week after that article came out, they released some statement which was like very like, okay, a bit defensive. And then they're like, oh, this week's winner won on the Capitec app.
Oh, yeah.
And then people are like, well, look at that. It's been FNB for the past 15 weeks. And then all of a sudden,
Capitec
ooh, winner. Wow. Oh, look at that. What about every person that buys this Spaza shop? What about the people abateng are like, on their way
the
home from work.
They've probably been doing it for years and years, waiting
right.
for their moment.
And then there used to be, I remember a time with Lotto where there were stories, like growing up in Vryheid, we used to have that Lotto on the radio. I think it was, at the time, it was Radio Port Natal or East Coast. Radio Port became East Coast. And Daryl Ilbury used to announce the winning Lotto numbers. And then you'd win like this Natal Lotto. But let's say PH won. There would be stories that followed about PH, this young boy from Eastern Cape who grew up crossing a river to get to school, Sekanqobi, PH, winner of 7 million. And then it's like, PH, what are you going to do with the money? I'm so excited, man. I'm going to build a bridge over that river that I used to cross to go to school. That would be honestly...
When do you come up with the shit that you say in your head?
Are you not aware that in the Eastern Cape, in Ghana, Pela, they must
no, but
jump
like
over.
It's just like you even close the story off with now he's building a bridge so that like
yes, because I'm saying that's how it connected, bro. Like the we understood as the listening audience, Uguti, this money that was won in the it's lotto by PH, we knew his whole backstory, we knew where the winnings were going, so you were able to say let me play next week because I'm hearing real stories of real people. Now, all we get is the person who won was on the banking app, FNP. How?
That's it.
Every week for fucking 67 weeks.
The economy
weeks.
Is rough right now. You don't want anyone to know your name.
No, but it's deeper but at than least that. They're saying that these guys are allocating the winnings to, it's like it's being allocated to people within the organization.
Because FNP is like, oh, if the money comes here, I'm not saying FNP.
No. It's not even FNB's fault.
FNB's not, like, you're not thinking it's
them. FNB's just doing the payments.
FNB's literally post-bank in this scenario. Yeah. They are just facilitating the purchase of the tickets. So every week when we buy on our app, FNB says, me, Lotto, these are the people who've played. It's got nothing to do with FNB.
Okay.
They get whatever their small facilitation fee is, which probably isn't anything because it's an NGO. Sure. I'm sure FNB and all the banks do it for free. Plus, it's a value add for your clients. So I doubt FNB's got a dog in this race. But they're catching smoke because it's like, yo, the people that have been winning have apparently been winning on your app every week. Now FNB is almost obligated to say, Katle, who are these people that are winning on this app? Let's go see. Let's say it's Warwick Stock, for example. FNB can contribute to this investigation meaningfully by saying, we'll look into exactly who these winners were. Was it PH Madubela, Pearl Tusi, Warwick Stock in these weeks or not? Now, if we come to find that the person that won is PH Madubela, who happens to be the nephew of a COO at Ituba, there's going to be a fucking mutiny here. Because sure. Can you imagine how much has been given away in lotto winnings over the past even 1 year?
Yes.
Bro, it is billions. So that's why...
You need conspiracy theorists like you, hey? Because me, I'm just minding my business.
I don't want people to think it's a conspiracy theory. No, but I'm just saying like, these are serious allegations. And as I say, me growing up with the one on East Coast Radio, there was a clear... story of where did the money come from, who played, who won, and what is it doing? Even with the early days of this lotto, national lottery, I remember watching on TV Nimrod, Sheriff, right, from Jam Alley. Pedi, noto, tselela. You know who I'm talking about right now. That guy would be the lotto brewer. And he used to work with that colored timer with the white gloves, Mickey Mouse. And then the timer would be like, today we are in ShopRite Checkers nearby Balfour Park and we're doing the lottery ball set selection. And then Pearl is standing there, then he does this with some papers.
And then it's withdrawn from ball set number. And then he says,
Pearl choose. Then Pearl chooses this paper. Then he's like, today we will be using lottery ball set A. And now we will do...
That's exactly what he sounded like.
And now we'll do the draw machine. And then he does the same thing on my paper. And Pearl is there. Choose the thing. And then it's like lottery ball set A, machine 7.
100%.
At least, right? Then on the night when Nimrod is calling the numbers.
Isn't there a lotto thing anymore? Like
no. Then the timer would press the button and we'd look at the balls coming out of the machine. And it was almost like, cool. You're comfortable now because you've got line of sight almost into the behind the scenes. Now, bro, if it is still happening, angazi. I haven't seen Nimrod since then and then before that, Jam Alley, and then crying
they
on David Mashabela's show.
They once asked me if I wanted to present this show. I was like...
It would really suit you, Vin, because you know you like a
talk. Very sus. I found it very sus the one time where the numbers were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Exactly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What if God was just like, let me confuse the...
Yo, no, even God was like, ah.
Like, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then it's like... No, and then it's... The numbers are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have a winner.
Yes.
No, if the numbers are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's fine. But if you tell me that somebody won on that, fuck off. No one is going to choose 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, even if they... I reckon that there'd be hundreds of people who would do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do you get what I'm saying? Like the likelihood.
There was one winner.
Yeah, but that's what, but that's what I'm saying. Come on.
My brother. You know? So the story has almost become less about...
Do you think the lottery is kind of like gambling grooming?
No, not at all. I honestly think the anxiety
and excitement watching to see...
The intent behind the lottery, I completely agree with. I think that it's a good idea. I think that it helps a lot of people. And I think that the lottery should be here to stay. However, it needs to be managed responsibly. We can't have a situation where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and it says this, you know, to people connected to people inside the organ. That's fucked up. And, you know, I tweeted this the other day. I think that South Africa is getting to the point where, honestly, for some of the corruption that takes place, people need to start getting death sentences, eh? We're really reaching
wait for young people to start, like people even younger than us to start leading this country.
No, but
like,
in that, they must find harsh, not harsh, like things with structure, like, hey,
yeah,
you do this, you know, in China, if you're a political,
yeah, fraud and stuff,
yeah, if you are in, if you are a political figure in China and you are corrupt, they're after you.
Yeah, straight.
They're after
you. And it's not, is that such a bad thing, you know? Because my thing is, who are you stealing from?
The people.
You know, you're not stealing from Waras there in Melrose.
And someone could have died waiting for that help somewhere.
Bro, you're stealing like from like the poorest fucking people.
People are dying in hospitals. People are dying from all sorts of things related to poverty and related to stress and related to just the stress of like not having something to feed your child is like quite intense. And you are wanting to
and you are out here with six houses
and
yes, and bribe journalists for your and kids, like fuck, for your you know, like really. Anyway,
yeah. I think
what would it be for? I know he wants to leave, so I'm trying to stretch it. So,
how say much, less.
How exactly? How would you? What type of sentence? Like death for real?
I think that the death penalty. I'm a big proponent of the death penalty. I think it's absolutely necessary, especially in Africa. I think that trying
if you
to
prove
approach
without
our,
beyond a shadow of a doubt type of thing.
Yes, no, 100%. But I just think that our problems in the third world cannot be looked at through a first world lens at all. There's a different culture here. There's a different way of operating. And there's a different way of laying down the law. And coming from KZN, there's a certain style that certain people manage entire communities with that works. And it has worked for centuries. So abandoning it now under the guise that we need to exist in this global economy of what is not working for us, because what it's doing is
which
it's
is
empowering.
Why China's doing her own thing.
Yes,
Russia's doing
yes.
her own thing.
It's empowering the bad elements among society
sure.
to become even more powerful. So you need to nip it in the bud, because I promise you, if you have to march out 100, because there's thousands of them, but 100 corrupt officials. You take something like the Tembisa hospital scandal
yes,
and the death of Babita Deokaran.
My God.
Just the ones that are guilty there. We have a special episode on the news, on TV, 5 to 8 until 8 p.m. That 5 minutes is execution 5 minutes. We say, these are the people that stole from Tembisa
Hospital. We don't
hospital.
Show it though,
or public
right?
stoning.
You show it on TV.
Or public stoning or whatever.
That's
yeah, so
it.
The people must be scared.
You
oh.
show it on TV.
What if children see that?
Yeah,
they
so
must
you
also know.
Know
that Yabo when Mausu Kulile, don't fuck around. There was a very, Abraham Lincoln, when he was questioned about the death penalty, they said, how can you kill men for stealing horses? He said, no, you are mistaken. We don't kill men for stealing horses. We kill men so that horses don't get stolen. You see, today these ones die. Tomorrow, no horses are stolen.
Mm.
You see, when you come to like a place, and also I think so many people in the country are, they're out of touch with reality.
Sure.
Our president included and the entire ministry.
Crazy.
They have no fucking idea what it's like in Hillbrow. Come to Hillbrow.
Yo.
Come and see what the Nigerians are doing in Hillbrow. Then talk to me. You understand? Don't tell me about...
No, don't say just Nigerians. Just
well,
say
in particular, this
everybody who's bad.
This is a fact. Like, there's contingencies of Nigerians, South Africans, Zimbabweans. They work in, as I say,
they
again...
Corrupt
within,
people who are working together.
It's not to say that the whole of Nigeria. No, it's not to say the whole of Nigeria is fucked up.
But
I'm
you know,
saying,
people sometimes are stupid. They'll just
yes.
now label every Nigerian out there.
That's the thing. I'm saying within the Nigerian diaspora in South Africa, there are elements that are exploiting the leniency with which we approach crime and criminality. In Zimbabwe, somebody made this point this morning. That guy, what's his name? The fees must fall, Brur. He was on a podcast somewhere speaking and he was saying the like all the illegal immigrants that come into our country, they bring whatever they were doing there here. They don't. They'll never do it there. Nigerians will not sell drugs in Nigeria. Zimbabweans will not hijack buildings in Zimbabwe. Malawians will not take the liberties they take here when they're in Malawi. So we are kind of getting this thing where, yes, it's not everyone, but there are elements of criminality that come from outside into our city, into our country, that we've overlooked for such a long time that now it's completely out of control. In the same way, I can say there are people from KZN who come to Joburg to come and do shit here that they would never dream of doing there. And we, because
what happens
we are,
in Zimbabwe if you do something like
you
that?
Get fucked up.
By who?
Now. By the police, the military, and the men that walk around a chambox. If I leave my phone on a table like this in Zimbabwe and you take it, and I say, this one took my phone, that'll be the last thing you take. They don't play in Zim. Even if you cheek a police officer in a roadblock, Me as Waras there, I'm a foreigner. They ask, where's your passport? They stop you. They say, why are you here? So no, I'm going to a mine. For what? No, I'm going, here's my paperwork. I'm going to see a manganese mine, whatever, whatever. Okay, no problem. The Zimbabwean that you're traveling with must humble himself and shut the fuck up. We were traveling and this guy was trying to say in Shona, hey, Mdera. He was like, whatever, whatever. He said, hey, my man.
Shut up.
Am I talking to you? The brood kept quiet. When we left, I was like, yo, bro, why are you letting these people put me under pressure? He said, my man, I was gonna fuck you up. They're moving these ZANU PF buckies, Black Isuzu buckies, brand new. They are not, because they've laid down the law. We don't have that shit. We've only got Mkwanazi. And then when he does his job, you get all these bitches coming out saying, oh, no, the police are too harsh. Who said shoot to kill? The fuck? Are you aware with what these people are dealing with? They're getting shot at, you know? Even recently, this Ian Cameron thing, he shot those cunts. They were trying to break them. So he said, fucking footsack. The one, by the time he shot this guy, one has got 14 stitches in his head. His head was bust open with a brick. Ian Cameron was hit in the face. His teeth are out.
Jesus.
So they had to catch bricks to the face. Bah, 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 bah. Before he decided that, la, siafala. Bang. They are like, why didn't he fire a warning shot?
What
the fuck?
What? I'm not thinking about warning shots. My teeth are out.
The good party came out and said that shit. And I was like, who the fuck is this clown? If you are in that situation, what else can you do? Because I assure you, if he didn't have a gun, they would have been bricked to death. In South Africa,
a
brick is an official weapon. Yes. So it's that attitude when dealing with situations that I believe is just taking us down the wrong path. And I feel like we are so far down that path. When things like this happen, where you've got this task team, political killing task team, that's doing excellent work. They've got 120 dockets. They've got hard evidence against serious cartels that are taking advantage of a system, making a shitload of money, and killing a lot of innocent people like Babita Deokaran and others. When those dockets are being investigated, you are complaining that the dockets are being investigated. What the fuck?
I think Waris is not passionate about the subject at all.
Hey?
What do you mean? He is.
It's really called sarcasm, but I thought you were going to just because you haven't said anything in 1,200
years. I am passionate about it.
You're clearly passionate about it. Yeah.
No, I love this place. I really like this place. I even like Heelbrow. I love it. It's nice. I go there. You know, like your exchanges with people, South African people. Me, you know the story. Fan love. I love fan love.
Fan love. Fan
you
love
know, like people
nice.
Will just come up to you and they'll say some dumb shit and you'll be like, fucking hell, I love this place. Now it's like, why must we waste the place? We can't waste the place.
Yeah, it really, really sucks because it's really the poorest of the poor who suffer the most. We think we're suffering here in Sandton. Mm-hmm.
And PH, how many job offers do you have from the Caribbean?
What?
Do you have any job offers in the Caribbean?
Well, it was, I think you should say less immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to the Shady Podcast. We really appreciate you. PH, shut the fuck up. We're so grateful to have this incredible podcast where people get to speak freely. You get to say less and really, really listen. Yeah. I want to leave now because I'm really worried for my life. But thank you for informing me, friend. I've really been protecting myself from information that harms my self-esteem, but also my subconscious. So shout out to you for educating me on all of this. I should speak to you more often so that you can teach me about all of this.
Now. Okay, we'll speak. But thanks, PH. Take us home.
Thursdays, you can catch Sayless, Pearl Tuzi.
Tando, Lwetu Mokwena.
But we, as the Shady Podcast, will be back next week, Wednesday. Take it easy, and if it's easy, take it home. Bye.
Let me see a period app.
Hey, let me put you on.
Well, I'm not in season.